Greetings, everyone. Happy 2021 to you all. Now that it has been approximately a year of intermittent letters, I thought I would reflect on all these reflections in a let's tease out some themes meta sort of way, if you catch my drift. That is part one, and I'm sending this part today. Tomorrow I'll send part two, which is more personal and holistic 2020 reflection from me, aside from this newsletter. So here's part one, reflecting on reflections. I began this newsletter as a way to reflect on things in the world. You might know I use the emoji wind chime, which looks like a glass dome, slightly blue with little flowers on it, and it has a little piece of paper underneath, also with flowers. Anyway, I use this emoji to refer to this newsletter, Reflections. Maybe you can hear this emoji twinkling softly in the wind as you imagine it. So by using this emoji, maybe the idea here is, by writing this newsletter, I'm picking up the wind. When I feel it, I ring the bell, I write. And with this newsletter, I was interested in things often overlooked, maybe because they're subtle or invisible, like the wind. Places, things, or vibes that most people think are boring, but I think are interesting. Subtle things that have their own life. So just for fun, I'm going to try to summarize each newsletter. First phase is called Before Pandemic, and there are two newsletters in this phase. Newsletter number one is called Placemaking Ambient Works. And here's the summary of Placemaking Ambient Works. Mysterious but specific design of underground train stations helps me be curious about the specific place above ground it refers to. I wonder how these mysterious symbols work with memory. Newsletter number two is called Favorite Place, and I put a star next to it. The summary is, I have a favorite spot in New York City that's something most people overlook. It's actually an instrument. I'm often overwhelmed by the abundance of New York, so I try to have a let's play attitude towards it. The next phase is called Early Quarantine, and there are three newsletters in this phase, starting with newsletter number three, which is titled Midnight Walk, and there's a star next to this one. Here's the summary. The pandemic happened. It's a portal. I went on a walk at midnight with a group of people and felt transported to a new zone. I wonder what it would be like to go blind or to lose my vision. Newsletter number four is called Ambient Blossoms. Oh wait, it's called Oracle Blossoms. And the summary is, the pandemic plus springtime has made me noticing mourning doves outside my window more. I used a mourning dove as the visual mascot of an alarm clock app I collaborated on that uses a neural network to compose a completely new melody every time it's set to go off. Newsletter number five is called Ambient Cemeteries, and it has a glowing star next to it. The summary is, I took a walk to Greenwood Cemetery. People are lounging there. It seems useful to weave death into everyday life more. Names are important memory triggers that are also everyday. Maybe names of the dead are the true ambient cemeteries. And then the last phase is called Middle Quarantine. And there are five newsletters in this phase, starting with newsletter number six, titled Public Memory. The summary is, I saw Google's kiosks in New York City's public space displaying the names of the dead, those black people tragically killed by police brutality. I wonder how to remember these names and bring them into everyday life and ritual. Newsletter number seven is called Ambient Friendship. And the summary is, here's an essay I wrote called Green Light Goes, about what love means to me, and a proposal for a network device to help us feel closer to our friends. Also, it's part of something larger about intimacy and the internet, which I'll tell you more about next time. Newsletter number eight is called A Flower Is Not a Flower. The summary is, the essay from last time is part of the internet onion. The Internet Onion is this writing anthology website I orchestrated with my old class that you can visit online. Here is Taiichi's excerpt from it, which I think is really beautiful. Also, I like when my parents talk about outer space. Newsletter number 9 is called Music on YouTube, and it has a star next to it. The summary is, YouTube comments on videos uploaded only for their music are some of the best, most loving writing publicly available on the internet. I think audio will be huge on the internet in the next decade, especially as our eyesight deteriorates from too much screen time. Newsletter number 10 is titled, What Effect Does a Wallpaper Have on a Lifetime? And the summary is, I like looking at my ceiling before bed. Its texture calms me. Also, here's a picture of the wallpaper in my grandparents' old home. It's generic but mysterious at the same time, and I love it because I see a duck that other people don't see. So, what do I notice about all these newsletters and their summaries together? So, maybe you notice there's a star next to certain ones. These are my favorite newsletters. And I noticed that all of my favorites seem to start with an exploration in physical space, which was often a walk. Or sometimes, as in music on YouTube, it started by taking a walk on the internet in an internet flaneur kind of fashion, with the sole purpose of observing what is interesting and not having a predestined path. And now there's an image of me, Laurel, wearing a green shirt, looking backwards towards the camera as I sit on a park bench next to a body of water with some kind of gate between me and the water. And I have my Pomera DM30, which is a small e-ink typewriter. And this is a still from Green People's first Pomera DM30 commercial. And you can click the link in the email to watch this commercial, which is 30 seconds long. I made it with Elliot, who is part of Green People. Anyway, one important thing to note is that I started most of these newsletter reflections on a special device, this Pomera DM30. I began my first newsletter by saying, I want to write in a way in which I don't know exactly what I'll write before I write. I'm not saying this device, the Pomera DM30, is the only solution or the only way to enter this state. But as you can see, I am interested in environments and how the affordances of those environments affect us. So of course I'm interested in changing my writing environment to encourage this state. I'm not sure how well I actually adhered to this constraint, as sometimes I typed my newsletter entirely on the computer. In my fourth newsletter, I changed the visual style to be more Pomera-like, with a monospace font and a brown-gray background. I went back to my default style the next newsletter because it felt too forced. And in my fifth newsletter, I included an image of my Pomera at the end to prove I started it that way, at least. And here you see an image of my Pomera on a wooden surface, and you can see it starts with the text, I took a walk today to Greenwood Cemetery, and it keeps on going. And it's partially folded up, so you don't see the keyboard part. Anyway, this fifth newsletter, which is called Ambient Cemeteries, was probably my most favorite of all 10 newsletters. I started it on the Pomera and later did a couple drafts using Dropbox paper. I spent the most time on this newsletter out of all of the others. I also got the most help on it, and thanks to Meg Miller for reading a previous draft. So this newsletter started by me literally walking to the cemetery and observing people lounging there and being curious about that. The lounging next to graves felt so pandemic core. I was inspired by this, wondering how to weave death more into my life ambiently as a way to actually feel more alive. I excerpted a large part of Maya Lin reflecting on her work on the Vietnam Memorial and the power of names. And I ended by saying, maybe names of the dead are the true ambient cemeteries, and their power to be interacted with by the embodied living, touched by hand like those engraved in stone, or spoken aloud with the voice by those remembering, is the true portal from our earthly realm to the one beyond. I wrote 10 newsletters. Maybe you noticed this is how they shook out throughout the year. Newsletters number 1 and 2 were in the phase that I'm calling before pandemic. Newsletters 3, 4, and 5 were in the phase I'm calling early quarantine. And then finally, newsletters 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 are in this phase I'm calling middle quarantine. So I consider newsletter number 6 the beginning of this middle quarantine phase because that's when the coronavirus became not the top story in the news, but more like the setting or the mood or the environment. And this happened because the tragic killing of George Floyd became center stage. So this 6th newsletter, which is called Public Memory, was about the public displays of names of those Black people killed by police brutality. It was a strange coincidence I wrote about names of the dead in the newsletter prior, which is called Ambient Cemeteries. And it's another strange coincidence that my newsletter began before coronavirus, as my 2nd newsletter, called Favorite Place, involved me reflecting on what would soon be mostly unreachable. One of my favorite places in New York City is this golden DDR pad, which is my name for this often overlooked interactive musical instrument in the Lower East Side. My other favorite place in New York City was my bedroom. So this was partially a joke, but also somewhat serious. Who knew that I would be spending a lot more time than I had imagined in my 2nd favorite place this year? A few years ago, I wrote about how both artists and wild animals are considered sentinel species, acting as forecasting systems to social, cultural, and political shifts of the world. They are sensitive to environmental shifts, making them sometimes good indicators of what's to come. And in the email, I linked to a piece I wrote, I think in 2016, called Wildness Knows the Score. Anyway, relatedly, choosing to write this newsletter, I think, made me more sensitive and therefore more aware. I'm sure lots of creative people feel this. Maybe we can feel the invisible energies, like the wind, more intuitively. By choosing to write or create more generally, we have more probes out in the world, figuring out what topic is most palpable right now. Peace on Earth, Laurel.